This is Who's Talkin' on Fox Sports 910 Richmond. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and unique takes like only Frank and Hobbo can. Who's Talkin' is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, TGI Fridays, West Broad Hyundai, LeClaire Ryan Law Firm, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, Franklin Federal, TheSaber.com, Stauer Affordable Luxuries, Richmond Allergy and Asthma, Kelleher Heating and Air, Hilldrop Moving, La Mer Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, and by Sarge Reynolds. Now Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
Welcome and good evening, Wahoos and ACC sports fans. What a huge weekend the ACC experienced. Tremendous action, Hobbo.
Yeah, it really was. We were talking before we went on air, the North Carolina-Louisville game was a heck of a college basketball game, a tremendous atmosphere down there at the Smith Center.
And how about Duke and NC State?
Yeah, Sunday the Wolfpack just played a sensational game, so it showed their start in Charlottesville last week was no fluke.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Cavs obviously had to surge late to take care of the Wolfpack by 10. But the Wolfpack has a good basketball team, and unfortunately, a few weeks down the road, Virginia has to return the visit. They have to go back down to Raleigh to play an improving NC State team. But a lot of water has to run under the bridge between now and then, so I'm sure Tony Bennett is focused right now on the Clemson Tigers.
And the Wahoos have got to feel pretty good about the big win out there in South Bend.
They should feel superb. I mean,
that's a tough place to play.
Notre Dame is a really good basketball team, and they're particularly tough at home. And fortunately, Virginia seems to have their number, but Notre Dame is going to cause a lot of people problems. You know, obviously, they're an NCAA team. They look to be maybe a top four team in the ACC. Virginia does not have to play them again, so Notre Dame does not return the visit to Charlottesville, but that's one of the victories that is going to look very good down the road for Virginia, along with the Maryland win, the VCU win, and other wins yet to come.
Two things about the victory on Saturday night against the Fighting Irish. Very impressed by Malcolm Brogdon and his incredible defense. Boy, he put the clamps on Jerian Grant. He was practically crying on the sidelines at the end of the game because he just did not score.
No, I mean, they did a terrific job on him, and he's a great player. He's tough off the dribble, so you're right. I mean, Brogdon, he gave credit to his teammates, too, helping him on screens and picks and all that kind of stuff, but Malcolm did a terrific job. And the other guy that's come off the bench and played good defense for Virginia is the Shyock kid, and he's given him some offense too. So very impressive freshman. And then the other guy that it'll be interesting to get Ted Jeffries. And speaking of Ted Jeffries, Ted will be joining us shortly, and then later in the show, Chris Wright. But Isaiah Wilkins plays 14 minutes on Saturday against Notre Dame, and I think that was largely a defensive move by Coach Bennett, but we'll have to get Ted Jeffries' take on that.
You know, I thought that was an unusual substitution, and it turned out to be the right one. You know, the other thought I had about the game out there in South Bend is that the Joyce Center only seats a little bit under 10,000. And, you know, you think of Notre Dame and the fancy football stadium that had the giant renovation some years ago. Maybe they ought to send a little bit of that money that they make in their giant TV contract from football and send it over and help the basketball program, because Mike Bray is a good coach, a good guy, and he gave credit where credit was due. He talked about Virginia won that game. He didn't make any bones about it, and he's a straight shooter.
Yeah. I mean, he's a quality guy. Obviously, he was on Coach K's bench for a long time down there at Duke before he took the Delaware job and then has been at Notre Dame for a number of years. But, you know, that facility, it's very similar to U-Haul. I mean, it's a it's a circular building, so it's kind of hard to add on to it. So they would almost have to do what Virginia did, and that is start over and build a whole new building, which involves a lot of money. So I don't know what the finances are. On the other hand, you know, Cameron Indoor Stadium seats 9,214, and I think they like that number. Or they like the facility. So sometimes those smaller venues can provide more of a home court advantage.
Well, one thing's for certain, they need to improve the access for the visiting radio crews so that Ted doesn't have to get on a tricky ladder that's kind of inverted that, you know.
That's at Cameron, yeah. Not at Notre Dame.
No, not at Notre Dame. But, I mean, poor Ted is put life limb in the pursuit of happiness.
That might be worth the price of admission just to see Ted get up in the crow's nest.
I tell you, it takes guts, but Ted's got him.
Unfortunately, we don't go to Duke this year, so you're going to have to wait until next year.
Well, we do go to Chapel Hill this year, and yours truly will be there. Looking forward to it. That's going to be a lot of fun on February 2. Anyway, back to the fundamentals here. We do have Big Ted Jeffries, the UVA radio analyst, joining us here shortly. We're excited to have Ted back and to have someone that is seated right next to the Virginia bench and right on the floor to get his impressions of these games. I think has been a lot of fun, and tonight will be no different. And then later in the show, we have Chris Wright, the editor of the Saber, joining us, longtime contributor and partner. And I think we have Ted on the line. Ted, are you there?
Ted is here.
All right. A graduate from 1993, of all things, and a keeper of the left-hand bank shot and the massive rebounder himself. Ted, what are your first thoughts looking back on the big game from Saturday night?
Well, I thought that it was going to be a game of contrasting styles. I knew that Notre Dame was going to try to get out and try to push things in transition. Obviously, this was another team that Virginia was going to face that had great outside shooters. So Virginia was going to have to defend shooters as well as those who are capable of driving the basket and creating other opportunities in the paint. I knew Virginia's defense had to be tough. They had to get off to a good start. They couldn't get off to a slow start like they have in past games. I knew that it was going to be an epic battle, and it did not disappoint.
Ted, this is Hobbo, and I should always point out you're on my all-time Virginia left-handers list, as am I, since it's my list. But I do think we're going to have to make room for Justin Anderson, but that's another story for another day. But tell me about the Isaiah Wilkins insertion into the game. What was your take on that? Obviously, played 14 minutes and contributed significantly.
Well, I've always watched Isaiah, and one thing that I've always said about him, he's a very active player. He's got a good basketball IQ, and I think that his intensity and what he brings, active hands, active participation on rebounding and defense, and because of his size and his mobility, I thought that he could be, I thought that was a nice insertion. But what a big stage for a young fellow who has not played here a lot in this part of the season, other than earlier in the season. But that was a big game to put him in, and I think he came in and gave some big help defensively. You know, obviously got lost in the shuffle a little bit against Pat Connaughton, who had a career game against Virginia, 21 points. There was some big shots he hit while Isaiah was guarding him, but what he brought active and help defense in the pack line, rebounds, just being in involved and bringing his intensity definitely contributed to the win.
Yeah, and I think the other freshman that really has made significant strides offensively and defensively is Mariel Shayok. And Lord knows he hit a big step back three late in that game, a key possession for Virginia. So he showed he was not afraid to step up and take a big shot.
Hobbo, I don't believe for a minute that this kid is a freshman, that's for sure. He plays far beyond his years. The way he is, what a comfort it is to have him in the game to act as a ball handler. And he usually, if you notice, is handles the point. When he gets in there, I mean, 6'5", handles the ball, really has a comfort level of being out front, running the offense. He gets players where they need to be, and like Justin Anderson in his first 2 years at UVA, when he really learns the shot selection and the tempo of the game, and I think he's already getting better at that. But as he grows in this program, he is going to be a very, very special player to watch. And like you said, he hit some big shots. But what he did defensively on some of those perimeter players, it was incredible to see that from a first-year player. That's a tremendous steal in getting him after Buzz left for Virginia Tech. That was a great find by this Virginia coaching staff.
Ted, looking at the game the other night, couldn't help but be impressed by Darian Atkins, the lone senior on the squad. 7 of 11 from the field, 8 rebounds, 4 at the offensive end, committing only 2 personal fouls, and he had 2 block shots. By the way, Atkins gets recognized quite a bit on SportsIllustrated.com for his ability to block shots and then recover or retain possession of the ball. Talk a little bit about what he's done, and maybe is he or is he not the X factor for this team?
Well, they definitely count on Darian for what he can bring. If there was the one person that you look to that had the ability to make up for what Virginia lost in Akil Mitchell from a defensive standpoint, Darian was the person that you could say had the best ability to be the next Akil, and I use air quotes here, but since we're on the radio, you can't see it. But you know, we know in this pack line defense, this is not a one man show. This is a group, gang defense. But he, because of his athleticism, his ability to guard laterally, his quickness off the floor to rebound and contest shots, you know, this young man, when he is keyed in and tuned in, he is very special for this team. And as of late, he has been very good. He's given you giving the Cavaliers some solid minutes. And what he did at Notre Dame, he really just destroyed Zach August, who's a much improved player, much like Justin Anderson, very similar numbers in their return this season. But he totally destroyed Zach August. And now Zach got into some foul trouble, but Darian was also a lot of the reason why Zach August got into foul trouble. So he had a great game. And, you just love to see a young man who's, been in and out, through his career. He's had some spells of some flashes of some goodness and greatness that you can see. But to see him more consistent right now, you just hope it continues as he goes through his fourth-year campaign.
Yeah, it's always fun, particularly when you see somebody who's a senior. And just on Darian, my observation of him, you talked about Mariel Shayok from the standpoint of shot selection. I think Darian's recognition of shot selection is much, much better this year than it has been in some past years. I know in the past, occasionally, he would catch the ball and go ahead and put it up, and Habba was there watching either in person or on TV saying, no, no, no. But this year he tends to be taking good shots and obviously converting a lot of them. As I look at the stat sheet, maybe the only negative, and I assume, I don't know if Tony addressed this or not, 16 offensive rebounds on the part of Notre Dame. I guess that was one thing that I'm sure Virginia would like to correct going forward, but part of that, I think, is Notre Dame also took 24 3-point attempts. So I always used to say long shot means long rebound. So it's a little tougher to do the rebounding when teams launch a lot of threes.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I asked Tony in a post-game interview about that. I asked him, was he surprised to see that? And he said, yeah, that was a concern of his to see some of the offensive rebounds. But he did mention, as you did, the long shots. That means that the perimeter players are going to have to stay home a little bit and make sure that they get in there and help the big fellas rebound. But, Virginia got caught, especially early on in the game, being spectators as the shots went up. They got caught watching the fight of the ball, not getting the body on the man, not boxing out. And some of those balls, were corralled by Notre Dame, where Virginia should have gotten a body on them. And then there were a lot of balls, Halbo, that just kind of fell out of the hands. Mike Toby had silly hands in that, or Tony, as he described him, had cinder blocks for hands early on in the game. And some of the balls just slipped out of the hands of other players for Virginia. So they've got to do a better job of coming up with that. I mean, we know up until that game, they were out-rebounding their opponent by a large double-digit margin. So it stands to reason that they'll get back to getting that back and getting that addressed and getting back to
as you well know, you watch this team play. There's nothing more demoralizing than to play great defense for 30 or 35 seconds, get somebody to take a contested shot and miss it, and then let them get an offensive rebound and you got to do the whole thing over again. But Frank's got a question for you here. Go ahead, Frank.
So Ted, last week Virginia prevailed in a really tough game against NC State, and the Wahoos held Trevor Lacy on 36 minutes of play to 9 points. He erupted yesterday down in Raleigh with a 21-point game against the Blue Devils. How did Virginia contain him, and then how did Duke fail to contain him?
Well, they were good. And one of the special things about this Virginia team is their depth. And they are able to rotate a myriad of guys on different opponents to give different looks. And if you remember, NC State came out blazing hot, had everybody back on their heels in the first half. Virginia made some adjustments defensively, and they switched different guys on. You would see, you know, let's not take away Malcolm Brogdon, the leader that he is, has done an incredible job defensively in the last two games. And you mentioned NC State. He turned up the defense on both of the shooters for NC State. And the job that he did on Jerrion Grant at Notre Dame was a clinic. It was picture perfect. This young man comes in, one of the leaders in the ACC in scoring. He's averaging almost 17, 18 points a game and is held to 6 points at home by Malcolm Brogdon. The looks that he gave in the last two games defensively has made it completely tough for any guy, any of his opponents to get shots off, and if they did, they earned every bucket that they got. That was the difference.
No arguing that. All right, Ted, we're going to jump to a quick break. Please stay with us. We're going to bring you back on the other side and finish our discussion, okay?
Sounds great.
Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.